Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
I did really my message just to say thank you to everybody. If I get a chance, I might do some teaching along the way. But I just wanted to say a massive thank you to everybody for all that you mean to me and Michelle and all the family and for all that you've done and for us, and more importantly, for the cause, for Jesus Christ. And I was thinking as I was finishing this off this morning, there's a number of people that you were here at the start, when we started Valley Church, Ribble Valley Church in those days, and people like James here, and Dave would have been here, apart from he was in Sydney, having a good time, being a student. There's Andy there in the Northeast. You were there, the various there, and in the in Lancaster, and there was Rick, who's in the Northeast, and Emma. They were both there at the start. And a number of you here, who were here. So I just want to say a massive thank you. And it's strange. Perhaps I'm just getting old and soft. Do you think I'm getting old and soft? I'm just getting old and soft. In the fact that you become more dear to me, I think is a good way of putting it, over the years, which is cool, but it's quite an emotional day for me. It's ridiculous. And but I just want to say thank you so much. We're going to miss you, all of you, very much. We will be praying for you. Our kids won't be staying away, so you'll see them from time to time when we're about in the country, even though we're off visiting somewhere else. They're old enough to look after themselves now. But we just wanted to just say we're really, really thankful for who you are and what you've done. And as I was thinking about what do I shout, because I wanted to say thank you, but how do I do that and how do I make it kind of useful and at least you can go away with something, right? And if you read the beginnings of all the letters in the New Testament, most of them, no, not all of them, and Paul actually more than some of the other writers of the letters, there's this sense of thankfulness for the people in Paul's world and for the congregations that he has planted and he loves the people there. And he often says thank you and then says some stuff around the thank you. And I've been fascinated as I've read the beginnings of all the letters about what Paul and others have said in their thankfulness. And I'm going to share one thing this morning because that's all I have time to do. Just one thing that Paul kind of writes. I don't think he's on purposely put together principles of how we remain thankful people. But it kind of has. And I want to be a thankful person. I aim to be a thankful person. I am sometimes and sometimes I'm not. But I want to be a thankful person because it's important for my health. It's actually important for your health. It's important for our health, for our communities, that we remain a thankful people. It's actually easy to be critical and it's harder to be thankful. Do you know when you walk into a situation and there's one thing wrong, you see it, right? Perhaps it's just me. But when I meet people, you know, they can have an amazing character apart from two things, and that's it. They really wind me up. It is amazing, right, that how easy it is to be critical rather than thankful. But actually, we're not just called to be thankful people. It's good for us to be thankful people. And I just want to read the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So if you have a Bible or whatever you have, turn to 1 Corinthians 1 verses 4 to 9. I'm just going to read a few verses and say one thing. So Paul writes this. I always thank God for you because his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God who has called you into his fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. And if you read that, and that was all you read from this letter, you go, man, the Corinthians are awesome people. Incredible. They're, what does it say? You're enriched in every way. Wow, you've got everything going for you. And then he says, you're full of grace. This fan is ruining my Bible. And the thing is, I don't want it turning off either, Dave, because it's too nice. There you go. And then he goes on, he says that you're full of grace. It's like God's all over you. Wow. You've got everything. You're so blessed. You're full of the grace of God in your life. You don't lack any spiritual gift. You go, man, this is an awesome church. This is incredible. What a great bunch of people. I'm not surprised Paul is thankful for this amazing church. And then you read the rest of the letter. And he has a go at them on lots of different areas. He really does. But he begins by going, I'm so thankful for you guys. The first thing I'm going to think about for you as people is what amazing things, what amazing qualities you have. I'm going to thank you for all the graces. You know, I thank you for all the blessings that are poured into you. I'm going to thank you that you are gifted, and not just with ordinary gifts, but with spiritual gifts. You're just an incredible bunch of people. Why? Because I think that was Paul's heart for them. And from that heart of, wow, you're awesome, and I want to thank you so much that you're part of my life. Thank you that I get a chance to lead you guys. And then from that, he goes, there is some issues over here we need to sort out. But I want you to know how thankful I am that I know you. And actually, if we're going to be thankful people, we need to not think about what people lack, but think about what they have. Think about what they have. And I think that Paul does that so well. And it's said, because Paul was a long way away from these people. He was writing from somewhere else. There's various guesses at where that is. But either way, he was a long way away. It's been said that distance makes a heart grow fonder or something like that. I just say I'm not sure if that's true. But one thing that is true is that when we're thinking of becoming distant, I think the heart can suddenly realize and notice all the good things. Our son Jonathan, that's in Lancaster this morning, he goes to uni when we get back from our trip. And it's a bit weird. But the thing is, I've noticed that I'm not noticing his irritable habits, because you do have some, Jonathan, by the way, but not very many. I've been noticing those less, and I've been noticing his good points more and more. And I think it's natural. I think not just parents, but if you've got a good friend or something and they're about to take another job, there's some reason why there's going to be some distance in the sense of mileage, not necessarily heart-wise, but mileage, that we begin to think about the good things and the good times. I just very simply want to say this morning. Why can't we be like that always? Why can't we be like that always? And the reason I frame it in that context is it's easy to think of the good points when people are about to go because you're going to miss them. But when they're with you, you can kind of presume on the friendship or presume on the relationship. And you tend to think, because we all have annoying habits, all of us, it's easier to concentrate on those, often minor few, rather than the major good points of people's lives. And that's why I think Paul started, you are enriched in every way, you are full of God's grace, you are spiritually gifted, you are amazing people. There's some things we need to talk about now, but let me know, that's my baseline. That's my baseline. And if we're going to be thankful people to people, I want to encourage you to make those things your baseline too. I'll maybe share a couple more thoughts tonight, but I want to finish this section with something very practical, because we're British, and we tend to do this, what I'm about to do, and I'm going to do it very simply, but we tend to be very sensitive towards people's feelings, so don't say some things that we ought to say positively to people, because we're scared of offending people who we haven't said positive things towards. Shall I say that again? Okay. We sometimes don't say positive things to people because we're worried that because we're not saying positive things to other people, they might then get offended. Yeah? So we don't thank people publicly because we can't thank everybody, so we don't thank anybody. And we as a church don't want to do that. And so when we get together as a church on our LVN nights or our heart and soul nights, we will honour somebody on behalf of all of us. And I want to encourage you as you go away from this to hear the fact that we're thankful, but also think, you know, I need to go and be thankful to somebody as well myself. So I'm going to thank five people personally this morning. I could thank a lot more than five, because there's a lot more than five people have supported us, who love us, who are with us heart and soul. Some of you have been with us for almost 20 years on various different journeys. Some of you have been with us for 10 or 5 years. Some of you have only been with us for 6 months or a few weeks, and we still love you and we're still thankful for you. And we could honour you in different ways, but I want to honour five people because I want to. And I want to demonstrate that you can do it. And it's good to honour people from time to time. I want to say a particular thank you. One of them I've known for over 30 years. One of them I've known for about 30 years. The other two I've known for about 20 years or so. The first one's my wife, Michelle, who I've known for almost 30 years. Can you believe it? And she's been amazing. She stood by me and believed in me in the good days and the terrible days, which we've had from time to time. And she still believes in me today. Isn't that amazing? 30 years with the same person. She still thinks I'm awesome. Well, it's because I am. But that's amazing. I want to thank you, Dave, for all that you've done for us, for all that you've been. You are my son in the faith. And thank you. I want to thank Andy, who's in Lancaster, and hopefully you can hear this, mate. Andy's my little brother. And I still remember the first time Michelle came round and you were hiding behind a settee, because you were only about 3 or 4 at a time, throwing things at her. And that kind of set the scene for the relationship right now, not really. But Andy's always been there for us and for Dave. And thanks, mate, so much. And the final is a couple who we met 18 years ago. Their children are similar to ours, and Jenny and Jason have stood by us for through everything. And we just want to say thank you guys so much. We appreciate you. And I just want all of you to go away from this place just being thankful for the people in your world and seeing all the good sides of people. Fortunately, God sees a good side in you, right? Which is kind of good. Otherwise, we'd be stuffed. And I was going to finish off, but I'm going to pass back to Dave because I've gotten hardy, I think. But if this is your first time in church, you need to know how precious and loved you are. And that God sees all the good side of your life, because he does. Because he loves you. So guys, thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.